people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Have you seen the light? I do not believe that any informed person today would deny that most of the human race walks in darkness. So much around us. Economic turmoil, terrorist threats, multitudes dying for lack of food, wars raging all over the world, including on our own street corners. Efforts to provide peace in the world have largely failed, and none would describe the present state of the world as peace, perfect peace. In fact, many competent observers despair of our race and half suspect that we not only walk in darkness, but we walk in darkness to our doom. And so we come to Advent, this season and this word. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Advent is the first gleam of Christianity. It is the promise of the coming Messiah. It is heralds the entrance of the divine into human history. It is heaven coming to earth. It is though a trumpeter has stood on the torrents of time and announced the coming of the King. Get ready. Get ready, he seems to say. Get ready. He's coming. What a message and how welcome. For years, perhaps for centuries, humankind has tried to organize human life without God. Tried to thrust God out of the universe he's made. Laughed at the preachers and told them to stop their silly patter about redemption. They said that mankind has no Savior but himself. Walt Whitman was one of them, and he said he loved cattle and all dumb beasts because they did not kneel down to say their prayers. W.E. Hay expressed some of this as follows. Out of the night that covers me, black as a pit from pole to pole, I think whatever gods might be for my unconquerable soul. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. The folly of it. The master of his fate. The captain of his soul. You see, these critics found it hard to believe in God. They transferred their faith to humankind. They invented what you might call the creed of humanism. That is, the worship of humankind. And this worship became popular because it fed our conceit. It was nice to be told there was no sin at all. Just a bit of selfishness which time would correct. That the golden age was inevitable. And gradually, step by step, humankind would move unaided to perfection. This made redemption unnecessary. Emptied the cross of meaning and made the church a joke. There was no need to be born again. No need for forgiveness. No need for God. And a lot of this reached its peak in the early part of the 20th century. And we woke up. For first, there came the First World War. And then the Second World War. And since then, the world has been an armed camp, issuing in many wars. Korea, Vietnam, Iraq, Afghanistan, and many others. Lesser, deadly. Regularly there are threats and counter-threats hurled across the world, and none can be sure of tomorrow. This is the perfect world that we were promised by the people who sneered at sin. We have a world that more than ever seems to have the possibility of self-destruction with guided missiles and atomic weapons. Is it not obvious to everyone that unredeemed people neglectful of their Maker, take the path to hell and would make the earth nothing but a gory hell? What can we do except call back the King, summon again to his rebellious world the man's monarch, and crown him Lord of all? That is part of the Advent message. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. I want us to look ahead and see the wonderful meaning of Advent. Let our hearts run out to him and proclaim with Charles Wesley, "Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set your people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee." Let us contrast, if you would, the lot of those who know Jesus as Savior and Lord and contrasted with him with those who ignore his outstretched hands and think they can save themselves. It doesn't matter whether you think first of our problems or our sorrows or our sins. Without Jesus, we are people walking in darkness. With Jesus, we're people walking in the light. Think first of our problems. Ask the big questions, you know. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? What comes after this? Those without Christ, the philosopher. There was a famous German philosopher in the last century named Schopenhauer. He was sitting out on a park bench one day meditating and thinking, and someone passed by and saw the old man sitting there, and they stopped and asked him the question, "Who are you?" And being a philosopher, he answered, not just with his name. He said, "Who am I? I wish to God I knew." This is the dilemma of the person without Christ. He doesn't really know what to make of this strange human creature. He has no answer if you ask, "Who are you?" A later philosopher, Bertrand Russell, wasn't able to answer any better. He pondered on the subject of life, its meaning and purpose. Of it all, he said, "You're an eddying speck of dust, a harassed, driven leaf." An eddying speck of dust. That's what you are, a harassed, driven leaf. If you seek from him and his kind the meaning of life, they say there's none really. Perhaps we could make our brief existence a little better if we try. Or if you ask what follows when this life is past, they say with Sir Arthur Keith, "Nothing follows. Life goes out like a guttering candle. They walk in darkness, you see. There is no light." How different from the Christian point of view. Turn to Jesus and the apostles with these awesome questions and ask them, "Who are you and why are you here and what comes after this?" And there's an answer for each question. "You want to know who you are," says Jesus. "You are dear to God. Dear enough for me to shed my blood. I can tell you," says Paul, "you're not your own. You're bought with a price." And then John breaks in and said, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And now are we the children of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be." Wow. You're God's child. That's who you are. You're God's child. Or ask then, "What is the meaning of life, Lord? Why am I here?" And Jesus said, well, it's simple, really. If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then you find life. For to know God is to have eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ whom He sent. That's why you're here, to seek God, to find life. Find Him and you find life with meaning and purpose and joy. Well, Lord, we say, when this life is over and we've lived out our days, Lord, what comes after this? And He answers with a smile, "In my Father's house are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." There it is, you know, plain dealing with plain questions. Is it a wonder we thrill with Christmas when we think of our problems? The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. "Come, come thou long expected Jesus. Unto us the light has shined." Or turn, if you would, to your sorrows. Here you find it just as dark among the people without Christ who make little of our Lord and just as bright with Jesus. Turn to those who believe you can save yourself and ask them, tell them of your sorrows. Tell them that you've lost a loved one. Or you've just got a diagnosis from the doctor and you have an inoperable cancer. Or tell them that one of your dearest friends has treated you shamefully. Pour out your heart to them. And what's the answer? What do they say to you? Well, you just got to put up with it. Which you knew, it doesn't really bring any comfort. Or perhaps they say, "We've all been through things like that. You must take your turn with the rest. It's just part of life." Or if you really expose your heart and tell them that you're frightened about life itself, the possibility of global warfare and the collapse of the nations, and you feel so small and unequal to it all, they might say, well, cheer up. Cheer up, it may never happen. And if it does, you'll probably be gone anyway before you know what's going on. That's about all they can offer. Little bits of worldly wisdom, if you would. A flickering match struck in the dark. They do not know there is no great light among these. Or come again to Jesus. Look to our Savior. Ask Him. Or say to Him, Lord, I'm in trouble. And before you can go further, He says, come unto me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Or we say, Lord, I'm afraid. There's so much unrest, so much evil, so much terrorist activities, so much warfare in the world. Lord, what can I do? And He answers, well, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. But if your efforts at peacemaking fail and worse comes to worse, don't be afraid of them which kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But we cry out, Lord, suppose all is lost. Some say that civilization cannot be salvaged and we've come to the end of the age. And then He smiles and says, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You see how the light breaks in and the shadows flee away when we come to Jesus? Truly they that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Or turn from your problems and your sorrows to your sins. If you turn to the humanist with your sin and your guilt, they'll be barely able to restrain a smile or even laughter. Nobody worries about sins today, they say. There's no such thing, really. A bit of beast survives in us and traces of selfishness, but not sin. Sin is a Jewish taboo, a Victorian convention. Don't worry about it. But I insist I have an unquiet conscience, an unclean heart. I feel soiled inside. This is deeper than any feeling of having broken a social code. Can you do anything about sin? And they can do nothing about it. Forget it, they say. Just forget it. And they leave you alone in the dark of hopelessness. They do not see, they cannot see any light. So I turn to Jesus. I come to Him with my guilt and my sin. And the moment I come into His presence, I would cry out with David, depart from me, O God, for I'm a sinful man. And He says, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. But I protest, Lord, you don't understand. My heart is as black as midnight. I've been an awful person. I've broken all of your commandments. I surely don't forgive others and love others as you love me. There's no hope for me. And Jesus answers, whoever comes to me, I will in a wise cast out. And John reminds us that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It matters not what our sin might be, for the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. While the wages of sin is death, and the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why we exalt in the message of Advent. We've seen a great light. In Christ we have the answer to our problems, to our sorrows, to our sin. He is equal to them all. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. I saw something this week, I believe it was, on a church bulletin board. It was defining faith. It said, faith is not taking a leap into the dark. Faith is taking a step into the light. That's Advent. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the shadow of death, upon them has the light shine. Amen. Amen.